Podcast. It is I, Chris, your narrator, host, all around, super cool dude. I'm here with a couple D-bags, Todd and Sooner. They're really bringing this show down. Not Sooner as much, but Todd for sure.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm just a little D-bag. Todd's a big D-bag.
Is that a lot more practice?
You know what? I don't care. I'll own it.
Somebody's got to be the bad guy, right?
Fine with it.
Yeah. So this week, there hasn't been a ton of news, but we do have some stuff to talk about. We have traditionally kicked these shows off with a status report from both Todd and Sooner about their play in the TTS Season 4 League.
But we both suck and we're not in it anymore. So.
Do you want to relive the pain of the last 2 weeks, or do we just want to settle this right now?
I mean, I'm fine with reliving it for a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, I dropped.
All right. Fair enough.
There, I did it. I relived it. Like, I'm a bigger man. I can accept that.
All right. Sooner, how about you?
I conceded my last game.
All right. Starting off this episode strong.
Yeah, I had a... So if I played my last game and I won, I would have got fourth place, and the top three make the cut. So, to me, there wasn't any point in playing that last game, so I just conceded.
We knew this was going to be a super tough cut going in.
Yeah.
We had talked about some of the challenges with the way the tournament was structured. And I even heard today that there were some people going into the fifth week 4-0 that if they lost, they might not make the cut. That's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, and this was some of the conversation that I had early on, like internally, right? Like was that based on the fact that I took a loss in week two, like I pretty much was guaranteed not to make it either way.
Yeah.
And this just showed that, and it is what it is. Like I'm not gonna cry about it. Like it was a good game. I made a bad choice. Like I had priority. I had the option to make things happen in a different manner, and I opted to stick at 17 when I absolutely should have picked the 15 point.
Yeah.
And it cost me the game.
That's like, the things with those tough cuts is little things like that mean so much more. Like that's a lot of stress I don't need in my life.
Yeah, no, like I'm fine with that stress. It's more the time for me, like, and not that anybody cares at all, but like the time commitment for me for a game. When a game takes 2.5 hours on TTS, it's a commitment for me of almost 4 hours.
Yeah.
And so like that's the bigger draw for me is just the time commitment, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it really wasn't worth it to sit out for another game, knowing there was nothing on the back end of it, and like. Just give somebody else a chance to play and have some fun.
Yeah, I wish we had the top cut roster for you guys so we could talk about it, but it sounds like there's still a game going on, so they haven't sorted it all out yet. But we will have that for you next time we talk.
Yep.
You have any regrets sooner? Anything you wish you had done better? You feel pretty good?
No, I mean, I really don't. This is, you know, I think we covered this. This is the first season. There's been five seasons, including the Mutant League, and this is the first season I haven't made top cut. And honestly, I didn't. It's not because I my play or anything like that. The two games I lost, I think I actually played really well. They were probably two of my best games that I played this season. Things just didn't go my way. I give my last opponent props. He changed his. I don't think we talked about this last time. And if we did, remind me so I don't sound redundant.
Yeah, changing rosters before the last week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he changed it to specifically counter Criminal Syndicate because he knew there were a couple Criminal Syndicate guys he would have to play to make top cut, and I was one of them. And so, I mean, I give him props. It came down to a 4-dice roll on Enchantress. I paid the 2 power. She was incinerated, so I needed... 1 damage to win the game. This was literally the last activation. I rolled 4 dice. She was rolling 1 defense dice. I needed 1 damage, and I win the game. And I rolled 4 blanks. So it was a
fancy. That's a bad beat.
It was a feel bad. I mean, you know, it was more than that. The game was very non-interactive. He basically stole something with Enchantress and ran away and just moved my guys and rarely attacked me. I wasn't hardly able to attack him because I just had to double move. It was a very close game. It came down to 24-23. But yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, I mean, it's
yeah.
Look, like I said, that game and the other game I lost, I didn't make any bad misplays. We'll get into the team tournament, but I mean, I played those, in my estimate, those two games were two of my better games to play. And the fact that I was that close to winning in that game when that guy brought a hard counter to my list, I think I played it well.
Yeah. What was he playing? Was he playing spiders?
So get this. He played Mutant Madman and played it at, I think it was 18 points, and he brought three models. He brought Enchantress, MODOK, and Thanos, 9-point Thanos.
Oh, my God.
do you notice what every one of those characters does?
Yeah, yeah, they move a lot of people.
So all he did was steal the extracts and run to the corner. I'm not kidding, the corner mutant. Like, the one that was closest to him on one side, he stole with Enchantress and ran Thanos, MODOK, and Enchantress back to that corner. And I would just double move my guys to get in position, and he would just go with his guys and move my guys every time.
All I
was pretty much doing every turn was double moving.
That's brutal.
That's gross.
And I'll be honest, I think he should have better utilized Thanos. I think he could have scored more on the secures, because what he did by that was give me all the other secures, and I could move away from them. So that kept me in the game. And honestly, I should have won the game if it wasn't for, you know, like I said, there was a few dice rolls in the end that cost me. But, I mean, yeah, it was a really non-bad feels type of game.
Yeah.
Just not much attacking. I mean, I couldn't really do much because I was, you know, most of my damage came from move, move, throw.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I mean, I give him props. I mean, he created a list, and I mean, he created it as a hard counter, and he played it, and it worked out for him. So, kudos.
Well, let's move on to some happier times. I know that a couple guys on the team, you included, have represented very well in some TTS team tournaments. Now, I wasn't following this one really closely, so I don't know the rules for this. Do you mind explaining the rules and then how you did in it?
Absolutely. So we had – TTS had the – I guess its first big team tournament. It was a three-man team. It was basically – I won't get into the specifics, but, you know, you lay down a player, then they lay down a player, then you get to choose which one plays which. But it was a three-man tournament. There were – It was a very good turnout. It was like content creator R Us, because a lot of the guys that played in it were content creators. But I played with my buddies from the Danger Room, Sploosh and Jacob, who is Xavier Protocols. And we did well. We ended up winning the tournament. We went undefeated. I will say there was another undefeated team, Zion's Finest. We ended up getting the first place just because they had the pair down and their strength of schedule wasn't quite as good as ours. But maybe one day we can get that last round game in with them. But we ended up winning. We went undefeated, and it was a good time. You know, team tournaments are awesome. You know, obviously they're better in person, but it was a really good time.
What did you guys play?
So I played A-Force. Jacob played his Defenders list that he's been playing, and Sploosh took Criminal Syndicate.
Very nice.
Was that the Defenders list with the portals and the Hulk thing?
Yes, and I'll give Jacob a shout out. He carried our team. He went 3-0. Me and Sploosh each went 2-1. So he kind of helped us out to get to victory, but it was a lot of fun. You know, it's interesting. Our first round game was a couple, or I guess three really cool guys, and we ended up winning those three games. And the next round we played the lovely boys from across the Bifrost. So Pat, Sung-Soo, and then Johan, who I think finished second in the East this season. So a really, really tough round. And we were able to get them 2-1. And then the last round we played the guys from Alfredo's Taco Truck. I think they came over from Guild Ball. But nice. they do that podcast. And it's funny because the first two rounds, we kind of matchups, we got pretty good matchups like we wanted. And then the third round, something went horribly wrong. And we all three got our worst matchups that we could get. But we were able to barely squeak it out 2-1 in that. And all three games were real close. So
That's pretty awesome. I haven't done any of the team tournaments. It sounds fun, though. I mean, maybe that's something we could explore here.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. You got to have a lot of people. Because, you know, there's three a team, and you want, I mean, ideally you want at least eight teams.
Yeah, eight teams would be ideal.
Yeah, so I think we had 12 teams or something like that that were in it. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you got to have a lot of people, but team tournaments are so fun. I played in a lot of team tournaments in War Machine, and they're a blast.
Now, there's something I want to clear up in the room here, and that is, is there a reason why you didn't pick Todd for your team? Is there some bad blood between you that we need to know about?
Yeah, you know.
I mean, to be fair, nobody picked me for the team, but I didn't want to play on TTS.
Hey, anyway. Wait, what the fuck? Sunny, you didn't ask me to be on your team either.
Yeah, I know. I mean.
What the hell, man?
I know.
Sooner threw us under the bus.
You got a problem? We need to sort this out.
I got recruited, bro. I wasn't the team captain, man.
That's true. I wasn't a team kid. All right, I'm sorry.
Plus, we got a Saturday. Like, I was out anyway.
Oh, okay. I think we did on our internal chat. I think we did make some sort of post, and you guys, like Merzane and Todd, they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm not playing."
Yeah, no, I was out because it was on a Saturday.
Anyway. Well, I'm pretty sure that Sooner just came in the chat and said, "Sorry, guys, I'm playing with Danger Room."
That could have been it.
It might have been part of it, but like at the same time, like as soon as it's announced for a Saturday, like I'm out. Yeah. And plus, we went to a Flesh and Blood tournament yesterday.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so. See, there you go. You guys are cheating on me anyway with a different game.
Whatever, man.
That sounds like fun. Congratulations. I know that Utility Cookie was part of a winning team as well, right?
Yes, his team won the Europe. They had a 12-team tournament in the Europe region, and Utility Cookie, who is our other good Turn Zero buddy, his team won.
Well, I'd love to get him on here sometime, but he's in Dutch time.
All I heard from all of this talk was Danger Room 1-0, Turn Zero 2-0. That's what I heard there.
Well, I heard. Well, Sploosh and Jacob played, so they get two, true. Right?
Right, yeah. But we got one in each league, and we won both.
Sure, okay.
So I'll take it. We won both.
All right, calling that one out, huh?
Shots fired.
Well, very cool. Congratulations. I'm glad you represented. So I guess since that's all the tournament-related news we have, we can kind of switch gears here and talk a little bit about the mechanics of the game. We talked about the Inhumans last week.
Well, I think we could go one step farther. I know we're all out of the TTS League right now, right? Mm-hmm. They're getting ready to start Top Cut. I think a good topic of conversation is because they're going to get to bring Inhumans in for the cut. Am I correct, Sooner?
Yes, they are.
So
sure, there we go.
So what about a speculation of what we expect to be in the top roster come the end of this event?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think you'll see any Inhumans affiliation alone, or if you do, I don't think it'll be dual affiliation, and that person will not actually play Inhumans. But I do think you're going to see Lockjaw a lot, and I think you're going to see maybe some Medusa.
Yeah, we'll talk about this just in a little bit because I've played both of the characters and feel like they're both really good. And I'm kind of on the same wavelength you are. I think that they're going to get splashed. And that's perfect because they're perfect splash characters because they all bring their own reroll. You don't need the affiliation to make them feel good as individual characters. But we talked about this last week that Lockjaw felt like he was going to be a really good enabler, help with those turn one plays, all that kind of stuff. And Medusa's the same way. She feels to me kind of like a Drax, where she's going to be able to hold her own very well. So I could see her kind of making an appearance as a character that can like hold a side objective or something like that, or even just go straight up and brawl. So I could definitely see both those characters getting splashed in. Are there any lineups you feel like those characters make the most impact?
Yeah, I mean, I think Lockjaw... I think you're going to see he makes the biggest impact in a few different spots. I think his number one and biggest impact is going to be with MODOK or Magneto. Any of the big heavy hitters that need help moving. The biggest weakness for MODOK and the biggest weakness for Magneto is being able to be controlled and being able to be pushed away and thrown away so they can't double attack and things like that to build up their power. And Lockjaw just says, hold my beer, guys. You don't need to worry about any of that. I'm going to put you right where you need to be, and you guys just do the rest.
I got you guys.
Yep. So that is going to be, I think, where you'll see, at least immediately, because there's so much about Lockjaw that will get unlocked that we won't see at this point. It's kind of like Hired Muscle last season. I think that'll be the biggest impact.
I just want to add on the Hired Muscle thing. We made that call well before.
Yeah, you know, so Hired Muscle came out at the same time basically Lockjaw did last season. Yeah. And I was the only person in the top cut who took it. And I was going to just destroy everybody with it. But my first game, I discarded it. So I won priority and everything, and I got it, and I discarded it. So it didn't work out well. But, you know, it's I think Lockjaw will, in this top cut, he'll just be in there to move models. I think if you have some Criminal Syndicate players, he'll definitely be in their list. Outside of that, I think he's just going to be a taxi for the big hitters.
So what affiliation did you, I might've missed this. I just want to clarify. What affiliation do you think is going to be top represented or the most fearsome going into top cut with these new releases?
I think Brotherhood gets a boost. I think that anything with MODOK, so Criminal Syndicate, I think gets a boost. I think that's about it when it comes to individual affiliations.
I'm gonna make an argument for you, and it's been an affiliation that's been popping up. It's one that's definitely been on my radar for the past 6 or 7 months. But I think spiders get a massive boost from Inhumans. And the main reason is because Inhumans have an innate roll or reroll anyway.
Sure.
On top of the affiliation reroll, it effectively makes every one of those characters have spider sense.
Yeah.
And they get a reroll on an attack as well. So Medusa in spiders is much more impressive than Medusa just in Inhumans.
But do you think she's better than Enchantress?
That's the question, right? So it depends on the scenario, but I think she's absolutely better than Daredevil.
Yeah. Or Venom.
So I think she can definitely fill those roles. Yeah, or Venom. So I think she can absolutely fill some of those roles Daredevil and Venom were filling, and those spider affiliations that those four pointers were getting plugged into, and be very impactful.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I was just doing Lockjaw, Medusa, I think, is absolutely going to be in some list, and it's going to be splashable. I was telling Chris, I don't think any Inhumans affiliations will be chosen or played, but I think that Lockjaw and Medusa will both be splashed in quite a few lists.
Yeah.
What do we think about Crystal and A-Force? That's the other
I think one she's, place she's... I want to try her. I played A-Force this weekend in the team tournament, and I used Storm and Captain Marvel as my drop-off buddies, but I want to try Crystal. The benefit she has over Storm is obviously a long movement, and she's probably a little bit tougher than Storm, maybe a little bit. It's not much. They're both pretty squishy. The big negative that Storm has over her is the throw. Because, you know, the Storm's biggest problem, she doesn't have the power usually to do that throw, but in A-Force, she can get the power to do that throw. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if she's better than Storm, but I do want to try it because dropping off with a long movement turn one is like, I'll tell you in one of the games I played, it would have made a difference.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a sizable difference between a medium and a long plus base. Like, it just is. And it definitely, when you have someone that has a long mover on the other side of the field with a She-Hulk that you know they can drop off with, it definitely makes you have to consider how you want to play into that.
Yeah.
Because it can end turn one badly.
Yeah. She reminds me, Crystal reminds me a little bit of Mystique in the fact that I think Mystique has the great deception play, but then the rest of the game, you're kind of, she's a little bit lackluster, in my opinion. Some people really like her. But I think Crystal may be like that a little bit too, where she's got that great drop-off play and but the rest of the game, you're just kind of hoping you get hot dice with her, and if you don't, she's going to be pretty lackluster.
Well, yeah, because all of her attacks are four dice. Like, she doesn't really have anything that's flashy. She doesn't have a big spender if she gets dazed. Like, she doesn't have anything amazing other than the fact that she might get to make a couple extra attacks, right?
Yeah.
So other than that, like, she's kind of... She's not really flashy, but I do think A-Force is probably the best fit for her. I don't know that I would... Like, I almost feel like I'd take Rocket Boots to play with a Black Widow over Crystal,
yeah.
Personally.
No, I mean, I think that's certainly an option. I mean...
Yeah, it's hard to say without putting a lot of time into her, but the attacks definitely don't feel...
I mean, she has the innate reroll, so it's like a four and a, it's like almost a five dice attack.
Yeah.
So it's not bad. And it, like I said, if you get hot dice, she's going to be great because she has range four on her attacks. But we all know, trust me, as I said earlier, I know how a four dice attack can whiff. It happens a lot. And so, I mean, she just doesn't impact the game. Outside of the drop off, she doesn't really impact it other than those attacks. And you know, she has no other ability other than those attacks.
Again, she's another character that works well in Spiders, but not, I don't feel like her impact is that monumental that I want to put her in my roster.
Mm-hmm.
I just have these awesome ideas in my head of an all webbed up play with a Crystal in range three of those people. And everybody's like, shit, we're stuck. We've got to move away just to get rid of this webbed up.
Mm-hmm.
And while that sounds awesome, like there's no benefit on the backside of it.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be really hard to actually execute that on the table.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I think I want to play her. I'm going to try to get a game or two of Inhumans in this upcoming week or so, so I can just try them all out because I haven't played them at all yet. But I mean, I think most people think she's kind of, you know, meh, but we'll see.
I guess we'll just keep rolling with it because I did want to talk about Inhuman some. We made some predictions last week about how we thought they'd turn out, particularly with Lockjaw. And we talked about that a little bit. I think Todd and I are both kind of in agreement with you, Sooner, that he is good at ferrying one of those big point characters to the middle of the field and making your opponent have to walk into them. And it's funny that you should say Magneto and MODOK because that's what I played with this week. Yeah. With Magneto on one side, and I was controlling a MODOK. And it's pretty impactful. Like, he's not as wild as we thought he was going to be when we first read the card. So there may have been a little bit of overreaction there. Or maybe it was just needing to see it on the field to really get a grasp for how he was going to work. Like, the first time I played him, I moved two characters with him. And then he was trying to catch up to get his extra power for the rest of the game. So we started doing the move one character and then follow up behind them, which seemed a lot more impactful. The fact that he's moving characters on his activation means that the hired muscle plays, some of the stuff we saw with that, isn't going to work quite as well as maybe like a gamma launch because that's on the other character's activation. They feel pretty decent. Lockjaw doesn't feel like he's as broken as we thought, but he's still going to be good. You also identified Medusa as being probably the other major splash character from the Inhumans. I tend to agree based on my experience with her. In the first game, I had her lined up on one side of the board fighting a Venom, and that didn't go very well. But the second game, she really stood out to me as someone who's going to do that kind of Drax thing, like hold the point on one side of the board and like, come fight me. Cause I'm going to beat you up and throw you.
I'm going to push you and throw you and do all this dumb shit.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a whole lot of responses to me. And I can push two people, maybe flurry, and then throw somebody away.
I was going to say, that builder attack's one of the best builders in the game.
It's arguably the best.
It's great.
And her area attack is pretty solid, too. I one-shot a Magneto and somebody else with it. I can't remember who the other character was.
I don't know.
Sabretooth.
Yeah, that sounds right.
One-rounded a Sabretooth and a Magneto with that thing. So it's it costs a lot of power, but hey, I mean, it's something you can do. If somebody wants to send two characters over to one side of the board to fight with her, she'll get enough power for it and be able to do something with it.
Well, and if a four-pointer has to fight into six or more points, feel like you're winning that game anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Like, they're having to commit so much to handle that side of the board or score points over there because dealing with her is that much of a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like she's doing her job.
Yeah.
And that's the other reason why I like her in Spiders, because Spiders like to be able to spread wide. And she can definitely control a side and get that extra reroll with Spiders and rerolling on Skulls. Like, it just... I don't know. It's kind of gross.
And the movement shenanigans feel good with what Spiders are trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything kind of synergizes with what Spiders are trying to do.
I mean, I think everybody likes Medusa. I mean, I don't really see.
Yeah, I agree.
What she does is pretty universally good for every affiliation in the game. So, I mean, I think everybody is going to like her. I think she will go in the top tier of four-point characters. We all know they have an interesting spot in this game where, you know, sometimes you just want to take one of the best threes or you want to really upgrade and take a five. But I think she's going to be immediately one of the top tier four-threat characters.
Is she the top tier four-threat right now? How about that hot take?
I'd have to play her before I'd say yes. I mean, all I've done so far is theory, and I don't know. I mean, I think the other three, maybe four people she fights with are Enchantress has got to be right now. She's the hot thing. I mean, everybody's just stealing extracts and running away and winning games. So yeah. She's kind of the new hot thing. She's really good. Obviously, Black Panther, Vision are there. I think Wolverine is there. I think she's in that class? Yeah, I do, for sure.
Yeah, she kind of feels like that to me, too. Definitely battling for the top spot. I don't know that there's anything she does. Take that back, because I was going to say there's nothing that she does that's unique, but she has her own movement shenanigans, and she just has all of the tools. She's not as niche as some of these other characters. Like, Enchantress feels very niche.
Yeah.
She's going to move characters around, steal an objective token. That's what she's there for. Medusa is able to brawl with the rerolls. She's able to push and pull and throw, like move herself, move somebody else. Like, she does so much stuff as an all-rounder that I think it puts her up there above some of the other four-pointers.
Yeah, she's kind of like Black Panther. And when I say she's like Black Panther, I don't mean what she does on the table is exactly like Black Panther, because it's actually quite different. Well, it's not quite different, but it's certainly different. But the fact is, you put Black Panther on the table with no matter who he's with, you're going to find good stuff for Black Panther to do, no matter what. She's kind of the same way. She's always going to find good stuff to do. Whereas, you know, you put Vision on the table against certain bad matchups, Vision can he cannot be quite as good as the other one. Same with, like, Wolverine. So, yeah, I agree. She's just good all around.
Yeah,
I think she's also, I feel like her and Black Panther are definitely one of those things where you're like, all right, I need somebody tanky, I'm going to take Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
I need somebody a little bit more controlly, I feel like she's a little more controlly than Panther.
For sure.
In my head.
No, for sure. I mean, Panther has, you know, he only controls through his attacks, whereas she's got, you know, a push, she can do her superpower, her hair. She can do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So we talked about Crystal a little bit in A-Force. I think we're still all kind of on the fence about her because we don't know exactly how she's going to feel. A-Force seems like a good spot, but maybe limited even there. Lockjaw, we talked about, is a good shuttle, good support character. The one we haven't talked about yet is Black Bolt. And I really liked Black Bolt, but I can kind of see his limitations, particularly at his point cost. Do you have any opinions about him?
Yeah, I don't think he will be taken at all, if I'm frank, in the top cut list. And that's not because I think he's bad at all. I think that's because I think his place is as the Inhumans leader, and I don't think you're going to see any Inhumans. I could be wrong, and he might find a place or two. I think he's a good character. I think it's hard to splash a fight. So Top Cut is the most hyper-competitive of all. This is the most competitive league that Marvel Crisis Protocol has. And I don't know if I see any of these guys saying, no, MODOK, you stay on the bench for this one. I'm going to bring in Black Bolt because it's a splash character, you know. So I think, unfortunately, it's just who he's fighting in that spot. He's just not going to win a splashable five-threat character.
Yeah, I think I agree completely on that.
I'd make the argument that I think that you could actually do a splash of Black Bolt with spiders. I know.
Damn, I'm one, spiders.
Yeah, are you going to talk about anything else besides spiders?
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. Like, fuck you guys. Spiders are the way.
Jesus.
But, like, I can see him doing work in spiders.
At 5 points, though?
Yeah, well, I mean, so I take MODOK in spiders. I could take MODOK out, put...
But is that better? Is that a better competitive list?
I don't know that it's better, because you know how many times I take MODOK? Like 1 out of 7.
For very specific reasons, right? It's usually to kill people or on an E scenario. So like it's to counter other spiders list, or to counter like a Black Panther or somebody, or if you're on an E scenario, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... is Black Bolt better at any of those scenarios? No, unfortunately.
I mean, yeah, I can see the argument. I can also see the argument the other way, though.
It would be a hard thing for me to put down a Mystic Attack, even though I love Black Bolt's builder and other parts of Black Bolt's card. Just the fact that MODOK is rocking the Mystic and an attack that hits two people. You know?
Yeah, and he moves, and he throws. Yeah, I mean, we all know what MODOK does, right? Like, we all do. But, like, there's also, at some point, there comes, like, oversaturation and the idea that you want to stress your opponent with something they haven't seen.
So, if I were going to make the argument that Black Bolt fits into that MODOK slot in Spiders or wherever, the argument I would make is that he has a very solid builder. You know, he's got the 5-die energy with the Pierce, yep, which is a good attack. It targets a generally weaker defense type. The thing that might put him over MODOK, and this is a might, is because he flips to 9 health.
Yes.
That's pretty big. Plus, he's always got the rerolls. He also pays to roll defense and attack.
You have to remember that this guy also is effectively rolling 6 defense dice in Spiders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he's got four physical, four energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus his Inhuman reroll, plus a spider reroll.
Yeah, so he's technically. But he can add. MODOK,
can't
right?
he add 2 dice?
And he can add 2 dice. Yes, that's where I was going.
Yeah,
like that dude is tanky as shit in Spiders.
Yeah, he is. He is. So, hey, I'm all for getting, you know, new characters like that on the board and pushing guys like MODOK out. So
yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he's 100%. Oh, if you guys are playing MODOK and Spiders, you're wrong. Like, I'm not saying that. But, like, you can definitely make an argument that that guy is the tankiest character in the game in Spiders.
It's an interesting argument, too, because, like I said, I do like that he flips to 9 health. That's huge. He gains 4 health on the flip.
And the one thing Spiders are missing is somebody that can be like, you know what? I need a closer.
I'm going to erase you.
I need a closer right here.
Well, and the other thing, too, is when he flips, he gets Whisper.
Yeah.
And Whisper is a huge attack. Yeah. It felt really good. Like, it felt so good that I was in a losing position in a game, and you got at him on his healthy side with no damage on him just to get access to Whisper. Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing. Like give that to Spiders. Give that to a super control faction that can delete 2 activations and then control for the rest of the turn.
Yeah.
Like, that, I mean... he's got things he can do there.
No, he does. No, he relies on dice. I mean, he's 100% reliant on dice, but I like him. I mean, I want to get him on the table.
Yeah, he's definitely fun to try. And I think for the most part, you're right, though, that he's not going to show up unless he's leading the Inhumans. And I think you could probably say that they're better beater lists if that's the type of game you like to play, especially since Inhumans have a notable weakness with Crystal, and there's only four of them so far. Like
more than that, because you can bring Beast and bring Ronin.
Yeah, you could easily make an affiliation, because Black Bolt, Medusa, and Lockjaw's 13 points, right? Or no, that's 12 points. So, I mean, perfect.
You could even... I could even see benching Lockjaw if you're trying to be a beater, unless you're bringing like a MODOK with them, which is something I also did. But yeah, I brought Beast. I forgot about him, but Beast is a very solid character with them. He doesn't get the Inhuman reroll, which kind of sucks.
Yeah,
that they have two Inhuman characters that don't get the reroll, which is like their kind of special thing. But those two are both solid characters. So, but I would still say that there are probably better lineups if you want to go beat people up.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Black Bolt is kind of in a weird position, but I like him.
Yeah, and I think once we give it a little more time, I think you may see him more. I think, you know, they just released and then Top Cut, you know, a week later. I just don't think people are going to take any chances.
Especially with the kind of jank that you're seeing in a high percentage of the list.
I would have totally put Black Bolt in my Spiders list. Yeesh. I'm just saying. Well, I can only imagine rolling six dice with two rerolls. I feel like even with my shit rolls, I could have blocked something.
I would ask you if there's a character you haven't considered putting in Spiders, but I know that would be a stupid question because the answer is no.
There's a lot of Spiders I haven't considered putting there.
I would ask you if we needed to really consider that you were going to put them in, but since you dropped after like week four because of two losses, we didn't really need to worry about that.
I'm going to just point out I dropped after week five. the same week you dropped, sir.
You've been mentally out of it for weeks, though.
I mean, I was out of it after week two. But, I mean, I went with it. I went with it.
So, yeah, those characters seem good. They're interesting. I'm excited to find out how people end up splashing them. I would be interested to see if people do think of him as a MODOK replacement or if MODOK is just so ingrained in the general consciousness of the MCP community.
I mean, look, I still think MODOK is a better character, but I definitely think he has play. I think it is more limited, but in those lists, like that's what MODOK was in Spiders 4 to begin with, was a control beater.
Yeah.
And Black Bolt gives you an option to fill the same slot. He's definitely much more of a beater, but he's a more sustained beater that you can count on being there if they are able to flip him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anybody that'll argue that Black Bolt is a better character than MODOK. MODOK does what Black Bolt does, besides if you can get an unbelievable whisper off. He does what he does and has control.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's no doubt, because what's his Black Bolt doesn't damage any more than MODOK does, unless you can get that beam, because MODOK's rolling a six dice Mystic with rerolls also. So, I mean, it's not like he's got a better attack at damaging than MODOK, other than, you know, obviously Whisper can really F people up. But you're only going to probably find that on the clumped up scenarios.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you could argue their builder is about the same, right?
Because of Pierce.
Because of Pierce and because of the Inhuman reroll. So like you could argue their builder is both about the same.
I think personally, I prefer MODOKs.
I prefer MODOKs.
Cause he can reroll what? 3, 4, 5. How many? I forget if it's 3, 4, 5, but he can reroll. I think he can reroll like up to 5 dice. So
yeah, if he's got the power, right? So he's got to have the power.
Sure.
So like he's not like, so if you're looking at it, turn one, they're equal. Because you figure MODOK's rolling 6 die on Mystic. Black Bolt's rolling 5 die with a reroll on energy. So into equal targets, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to roll about the same number of dice with about the same number of outcomes. The trick is MODOK has more things to do with the power after he gains it.
Yeah.
And Black Bolt's going to be, like I said, Black Bolt's just going to be more of a sustainable body on the board for Spiders than MODOK long term, I think. And it's very niche, right? Like, it's very niche. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's it. That's where I see him.
Well, and we're talking about MODOK, one of the best damage dealers in the game. So,
absolutely.
I mean, Black Bolt's right there with him. So, I mean, he's a great damage dealer.
That's what I was going to say. All else being equal, it's cool that we're having the conversation, right? Because I know, at least for me, I was fully prepared to skip the Inhumans and kind of wanted them to be crappy so I had an excuse to. But now we're talking about maybe Black Bolt kind of being on that level.
Yeah, at least to look at.
Right. So I think that's interesting.
MODOK can, just to correct myself, MODOK can roll any amount he wants for each
power. Yeah. Yeah, as long as you have the power.
Yep.
So, I mean, turn one, he's re-rolling one at best.
Yeah, no, he's got, I mean, like any character in the game, I mean, they got to build up their power, but... Same as Black Bolt, you know.
Well, would you guys like to get into a couple podcast questions? We have two this week.
What the fuck? Two whole questions?
I know. I forgot to ask, and we still have two. That's how dedicated our listeners are.
Do we have that much time left?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's do it. Call.
Ready, Captain?
I'm ready to take calls from the public.
Okay, cool.
All right, so we want to answer our podcast questions. This first one comes from...
Man, that was really rough, I'm just going to say.
Yeah, it was. I'm not going to lie.
I'm just going to say, like...
I'll just go ahead and read the question. So from
and then just fuck up, I guess.
Yeah, it is, if each individual host could pick the theme song for the podcast, what would it be?
And we currently are using the X-Men cartoon theme.
Yeah, so it has to be different than that.
I'll just go last. I'll wait and see if you guys pick the
shit. Jesus Christ. You're going last. Chris, you got to try to one-up us. Me? Yeah, oh, man.
I asked the question.
This podcast is a shit show. You are all clowns. I would use the Yakety Sax theme from the Benny Hill show.
Yakety Yak.
No. The... technically I do get to choose because I edit the podcast. I can put whatever I want on there.
You could, but like you just got to pay like royalties.
I don't think we're paying royalties for the X-Men theme.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying if we're going that way, I'm going all in on my choice. So, Sooner, what you got?
Oh man, I could go two ways with it. I'm gonna go the boring way and one that would actually could be used in work, and that would be the intro to the MCU movies.
That's a good one.
So
we definitely get sued for that.
Yeah, you definitely would not.
Wait, you're gonna have to pay for mine too. So just wait for it.
Yeah. So I think that would be a good actual logical answer that one would be really good to use.
All right, Todd.
Mine wins.
Lay it on us.
All right.
You're going to prove me right.
I'm going deep for this one. So if you remember all the way back to the very first Avengers trailer, there was a very particular song that was used in that. Neither one of you guys are going to fucking know it because y'all are fucking not cool.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't either.
No clue, huh?
No. How old was I when that came out?
I don't know. I don't even know how old you are now. But... when the first Avengers trailer for the movie came out, the song used in that trailer was Nine Inch Nails, We're In This Together.
Did they use that for Avengers?
You are goddamn right they did.
Really? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't fit the theme at all.
Yep,
it's Nine just Inch the Nails. Words.
I thought you were going to for sure say Pink Snake or something.
Fuck no. Nine Inch Nails. Dude, all of my license plates on my vehicles are Nine Inch Nails songs. So I love Nine Inch Nails. I've listened to Nine Inch Nails since I was like...
I can't believe they use that song. That doesn't...
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't even fit.
You know what? Here, I'll pull it up for you.
Well, I know what the song is.
Yeah, I'll just pull it up
Oh, you're
for
pulling
you.
Up the trailer for me?
Yeah, I'll pull it up. That.
Nobody can see this.
I know, but they can't, but you can. You can be like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit, that's so... I'm not going to say it's cool.
It's totally cool.
Well, Griff, we appreciate the questions, my man. You and listening, you were the one who asked the question last week, so we appreciate it. But let's get to the second one, why Todd looks shit up. This one comes from the Noble 117. It feels like every week I see someone online complaining about the tactical rocks on models. How would you alter or fix the tactical rock issue?
So he's referring to the fact that all of these models are coming out where they're got 1 foot up on a rock or crystals floating on some rocks.
I haven't noticed. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every model. That's weird.
Except for your Lockjaw, which you green stuff a big pile of poop on.
I did actually take my Lockjaw because I have two bulldogs and I'm allowed to do this and flip him on his ass and make it as though he's pooping.
Nice. I saw that picture. It looks good.
So
classy. Yeah.
I mean, I have two bulldogs. I know how they are in real life.
I mean, rocks are so easy. Like, what else do you have people stand on? I mean, Punisher's got a duffel bag. But if a character doesn't have, like, a thing, are they just going to stand there otherwise?
They can stand on a foosh symbol.
Foosh and a rocket. I mean, that's creative.
I get zero problem with it. I mean, this obviously they are using these as a secure base for the model that they need to be attached to so they don't just snap off. I mean, could you argue that maybe they could make a little less rocks and like some other stuff like a bench or something that the person's on, you know, but that would just cost more money for them.
If there was a bench, I would want to have my Black Bolt sitting on it like Forrest Gump.
That's where Cyclops should be.
Oh, I got to tell you. Okay, so I kind of skipped through the team tournament a little bit, but my turn one, I played into X-Men. And let me tell you what, Cyclops fucked my world up, man.
As he should. He's the leader of the X-Men.
Really? You just like misplayed it. That's what happened.
Man, I was playing A-Force and She-Hulk was just smashing people like She-Hulk does. And Cyclops was like, hold my beer, walked over and like, because at the time with Special Delivery and She-Hulk just rolling really well, things were starting to go super heavy in my favor. And Cyclops said, hold my beer, we're getting back in this game. And he just was laser beaming the hell out of me.
Just blasted you off the planet.
Yep. It got him back in the game, and it ended up being a super, super close game.
That'll show, Todd. That's what he gets for talking shit.
Yep.
You know what? Didn't show me anything. It showed sooner, though.
But as far as terrain stuff, I mean, they could get more creative by adding benches and stuff like that, but there's a lot of rubble in the comics. Like, they're always breaking shit. Sure. So it makes sense.
Yeah, it's a fight. It's a superhero fight. They're going to be broken shit all over the place.
And then the other thing, too, is I'm losing my train of thought because Todd is playing this fucking trailer just to prove to me something he already told me that I believed. So he's just wasting all of our time right now. But I was going to say they've been doing a good job of putting other shit in there lately. Like Beast is on some girders. Mm-hmm. She-Hulk is throwing a beam. Like Medusa's on her own damn hair. They've got a bunch of different things coming out now. So maybe it's not as much of an issue now, but I could see how it was or could continue to be. But I'm not that bothered by it. I mean, I think heroes break shit all the time. I mean, we throw buildings and cars and stuff in the game, so it makes sense to me.
There's probably a rock around you.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think nerds are always going to find something to complain about, and that's a pretty good thing for AMG if the worst we can complain about is the tactical rocks on their model.
It's an easy thing to meme about, right? Because it's everywhere. Yeah. So it's easy to call them out for not being creative, but I think the models are generally pretty cool, so whatever they're standing on doesn't matter that much to me.
I just want to point out that would make a hell of a good intro song, though, right?
I mean, yeah, if we wanted to get sued.
Talk to Trent.
Oh, you talk directly to Trent Reznor.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to talk to him.
Good. I'm glad you have that connection.
I got it.
Let's get the okay, and then we'll put it on there.
Be like, hey, Trent. And he'll be like, you know what, man? You know, I'll come on the show. We'll talk about
it. And then I'm going to cut to the yakety sax.
That's rude.
Well, I'm sorry we didn't have that much to talk about this week, but it's been a pretty light week as far as games and stuff go. We got the Inhumans. That was pretty much it.
I mean, the only other thing we've got, and we need to get more information on it, is going to be that League kit. which is the only new release coming for next month. I am super excited about that, especially for locally here in the shop.
Yeah. I saw that there were some screenshots of the rules. I know it's a 3-week league. I know they're targeting 8 players. I know there's some acrylic tokens up, but I don't know much about the rules outside of that. I did see some screenshots where they had some unique objectives related to that.
I saw this one part where it said Chris loses to Todd.
I lose to Todd every time we do an event, and so, I'm sick of it.
That'll happen.
I'm going to start. I feel like the Medusa model, if you put her together, is about as heavy as a bolt. So I'm just going to hold on to it and fucking throw it at Todd whenever he starts acting up.
That's
like my old shop teacher used to do. Sorry, man. Throw sockets at us if we weren't paying attention.
I mean, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So yeah, besides the league kit and Sooner and Todd both dropping out, just bring that back up to hurt you guys.
I didn't feel a thing.
Sooner not picking Todd for his team and winning.
I don't feel that either.
And then humans. I mean, that's kind of it. So a little bit short this week, but next week we should have some top cut information for you. I have a feeling we're going to get some more spoilers. We got a little bit on Bob and Deadpool, but we still have Cable and Domino to go. We saw their models. They look pretty sweet. So we should have some more info on that. And probably some league stuff going on around the shop. So,
yeah.
Unless you guys have anything else to add.
Nope, I'm good.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I finished the same as Sooner in the league, so I feel like I have mission accomplished.
Did you drop first or did he drop first?
We dropped same week.
Same time?
Same time.
It was the first time for everything for Todd, you know?
So, like, I am on par with Sooner, and you can suck my dick, buddy.
And he still didn't pick you for his team. We'll see you guys next time.